Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today we are at Oasis Art and Craft in downtown Harrisonburg, where they're celebrating 25 years of community and creativity. This artist co-op showcases local talent through fine art and crafts. We'll chat with two members, Delaney Westwood, a fluid acrylic painter inspired by nature and the universe, and Barbara Camp, a stained glass artist whose work has traveled the globe. You can already tell if you're watching this on YouTube that we are going to have fun. Plus, you'll hear about Oasis's exciting Guinness World Record mosaic project. I can't wait to hear more about that. And laughers, I'm so excited to dive into the stories behind all the art here. I really can't wait. How about you? So let's do it. Welcome to the show, Delaney and Barbara. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It is great to be here. And what laughers do you think about all this purple hair that Barbara has?
It's not just the purple hair. It's the fairy hair.
It's the fairy hair. How long have you been wearing fairy hair?
4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And I just returned from Milan, and everywhere we went, oh my God, what have you got in your hair? It's wonderful. So if anyone wants a business opportunity, take fairy hair to Milan.
Where is Milan?
Italy.
That's what I thought. Obviously, I haven't traveled there. I wouldn't. She acted like I should have known, people. Did you know, Delaney?
Yes, I did.
All right. Fair enough. I need to get out more.
Sorry, you can cut that piece if you'd like.
Yes. It's going to be so fun getting into the story, but real quick before we do, I wanted to tell the laughers exciting news that you can get a free audiobook from Audible when you click on the link in the show notes today. That is so exciting, and an option to listen to somebody else besides me weekly, which is also very exciting. A little bit of this money goes, well, actually all of it back to the podcast to help us grow, so that's a win-win as far as I'm concerned. I invite you to take advantage of it. All right. Now back to you, Barbara and Delaney. I would like for you to tell me, how did this all start? This is 25 years in the making, this co-op. How did this all get going? Are you the originator?
No, I've only been here about a dozen years, although I will say my mom was one of the early members.
Really?
Yeah. 25 years ago, JMU professors and a Bridgewater professor got together and said Harrisonburg needed a place for art. And so they established Oasis. At the beginning, it was mainly wall art, but wall art sells infrequently. So they added crafts to that. And here we are 25 years later in the same place, basically running the same way it did 25 years ago. So isn't that...
That's incredible, because this is a pretty big space.
It's a huge space, it suits us wonderfully. I mean, we have a terrific basement downstairs. Mm-hmm. We have great light. It's perfect for, you know, crafts as well as 2D art. And it's the best location in town.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's a great location, very close to everything, right off of Main Street. And we also have an upstairs where we have artist studios as well. So three levels of awesomeness, although we don't let people in the basement.
What's in the basement, Delaney?
Mostly a lot of storage. We have all kinds. Anything that you might need that's related to arts and crafts, you can find it in the basement. And it's actually well labeled now, much less scary. But, you know, we still don't let our guests down in the basement.
Well, they can.
They could. If you come here and you ask to see the basement, we will indulge. We could. There's all kinds of stuff down there. It's pretty. If you ever lack inspiration, you can go down in the basement and you can find something to kind of stoke the fire. So
I see. And also, while we're at it, I know that the laughers who've never been here before can't see this big space around us and the type of art that they could look at and or purchase here. You mentioned there's paintings. What other items would they find if they ventured down here to downtown Harrisonburg and walked in Oasis?
Okay, so yeah, great question. Mm-hmm. We have about 36 artists, correct? And each one of our artists typically does a different type of medium. We try to keep the offerings really diverse. So we have a glass worker, we have mosaics, we have a welder. He's a professional welder, but he welds for art, for fun. So he uses different heat settings to get different colors on the metal. So that's very cool. We have a couple different felters who do really unique work. So although they work with a similar medium, they have very different styles. We have photography. We have a new member who does cigar box guitars and dulcimers. So that's very cool. He's really passionate about it. He's extremely skilled. We have, I don't think I said woodworkers yet. So we got woodworkers. What else do we have?
There's
pottery.
Glass.
Of course, there's pottery, and it's dishwasher and microwave safe, which I think is awesome. I always like to share that fun fact because I hate doing dishes. who else do we have?
Me too.
We have Bill Nelson, of course. He does the, is it polymer clay?
It is polymer clay, and he sorry,
guys. Wow.
Microphones.
His name is Bill Nelson. He is internationally known for his graphic design. Yeah. But here he sculpts dolls, he says, out of polymer clay. He does shows every first Friday. He's here demonstrating, and he tells everybody where to buy materials and helps them if they want to do a similar thing. He's a lot of fun.
Wow.
Yeah. And jewelry. We have a lot of jewelry as well. We have metal workers who do jewelry. We have, what else? Oh, we have resin art, which is, it is 2D art, so it is wall art generally, but that's kind of a different one.
Oh, and I'll get this. I will get this, I promise. The Shenandoah Valley Watercolor Society is also a member here, so they have a large space as well to hang. So diverse art, everybody's diverse, and it's fun. And a lot of nice people, too.
Very nice people.
Yeah. For those of you listening to the podcast and not watching it on YouTube, we're having fun because we're sharing two mics. And so Barbara starts talking, but one or both of us are shoving the mic in her face so you can hear her.
Sorry.
And her glorious purple fairy hair. I love it. I am intrigued by, Delaney, these guitar cigar box.
Cigar box guitars.
Okay.
Yes.
Are they tiny guitars?
They are. You might be able to see them from here. They're over.
Oh,
in that
I do see
there.
Them.
So they are smaller. You know, if you think about a cigar box, they're probably what, like, you know, 8x10. You know, they're smaller. I'm not sure they come in different sizes. So maybe some are 11x14. So it's smaller than a typical guitar. I think many of them have 4 strings instead of 6. Which I think you have to tune it differently for it to still make cool sounds. Obviously, your chords would be different.
So it's functional. It's
functional.
Not just an art piece.
Oh, yeah. And he was showing me when I was here how to play the dulcimer, which also had, it was a 4-string dulcimer. And you can play it. I mean, I have no skills with these sorts of things, but I was making some nice sounds. And he even has them so you can plug them into an amp.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty neat.
They are pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see if we can't show a picture of that or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't see a picture of it, another great reason to come in Oasis and see for yourself. So where the bass part of the guitar is the biggest part, that's what the cigar box
is placed. And then he takes, you know, different wood that matches the cigar box and he'll make the neck of the guitar and string it.
Okay.
Very cool.
What would you say is the range of what someone could spend in here from the most inexpensive item to the most expensive item? Barbara?
Okay. So cards. We have a lot of cards, and they are from $4 to $5.
Mm-hmm.
Then most of our sales hover around the $30 to $50 range,
mm-hmm.
But you can buy wall art for over $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that piece of Bahir's there is probably about 1500s. Mm-hmm. Delaney's got a fabulous triptych over there, and I think you have that, or that's a double, right?
It is. It's a two-piece mountain painting.
It's beautiful, diptych, by
and
the
that,
way.
That one is 1500, which is the top dollar of what I put on any painting in here, typically.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. What drew each of you to become a part of this cooperative, this artist cooperative?
Well, as I mentioned, my mom was mm-hmm. one of the early members. Now, when I came to Harrisonburg 12 years ago, she was no longer a member, but she badgered me until I applied. It was her desire that I be here. So, like a good daughter, I applied, and I've been here ever since. Now, I remember when Delaney applied, she was really just starting her journey.
Absolutely.
And to be a member at Oasis, you mm-hmm. have to go through a jury process.
Okay, let's talk about that, because there could be artists, I'm sure, attracted to this podcast and curious about that.
So you apply, and you have to provide about 6 or 10 pieces of your work to demonstrate your skill level, mm-hmm. your techniques, and so forth. And then the jury, which is composed of Oasis members, will decide not just are you top of the line, but do you show promise? Do you have a variety of work? Does it overlap with anything we have? We don't, as Delaney said, we don't want to have duplicative exact replicas of things. Mm-hmm. Now, when Delaney applied, she was at the beginning of her artistic journey, but the jury saw so much promise Aww. In her that she was accepted. And you talk about it.
Sure, I would love to. Thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, I joined in 2021, which is surprising. It's been, what year is it? It's been almost four, it'll be 4 years in November. And I had really just gotten into, I'd always been interested in art. I always had been creative, but I wasn't really allowed to paint much as a kid because I was just way too messy, which I still am, but I have my own place to make messy now.
She has paint on her pants.
These are my nice pants too. These are not supposed to be paint
messy.
Pants, but
she
here
discovered
we are. So
before we record it.
Exactly. And so I actually discovered fluid acrylics in 2020. I had never seen the medium before, and I just started watching YouTube videos, and I decided I'm going to try to learn how to do this, and I immediately just fell in love with it and became pretty obsessed with it. And in 2021, I had made enough decent art that I thought, all right, where can I sell this stuff? I mean, I have so much art that I'm making. Maybe someone would buy it. And so, of course, I thought of Oasis, and I came down and I met Barbara, and she told me about, you know, you need to have 6 ready to sell pieces. And I kind of got the feeling I might only get one shot at this, so I better really do a good job. So I think I took almost 6 months to prepare, because I really wanted
wonderful.
To put my best foot forward. And I just really respected everyone in here and the beautiful work that I was seeing. And I was like, I want to do this, especially because the membership is not expensive, and to get to have a spot on Main Street and to learn. One thing Barbara told me, I would learn a lot about, you know, how a gallery runs and how to survive as an artist, and that there's a lot of value in that. And there absolutely is, because I didn't know anything about that. And so I brought my pieces in, and thankfully they were willing to kind of take a shot on me. And we did have another artist, Sally, who dabbles in fluid acrylics, and she was generous enough to kind of let me take center stage on that, because she also does jewelry and glasswork and some resin, I think. Mm-hmm. Sally has lots of talent, so she was awesome in I think giving me the thumbs up. So I was just really attracted to the idea of it being a working artist co-op and a place where I could learn and grow. And I mean, if I'm thinking to myself, all right, what can I glue this canvas onto this drum with? I now have, 30 people who can be like, oh, you should try this glue or get this roll. You know, it's just an amazing place where years of experience and
the
collaboration is awesome. So hope that answers your question. I got a little off track.
I like that. You have some of pieces that you have made or in process are both behind and around us. Can you tell us about some of that? This is what you mean by acrylic.
Yes.
For those who may not know the difference between one paint from another paint.
Great question. So
I'm only speaking for a friend.
That is so fair. And there are lots of different types of paint. I don't even know all of them, that's for sure. I call it fluid acrylics. Okay. Some people call it like acrylic pouring because you're basically making your acrylic paints into a fluid form. So I mix my acrylic paints with something called Floetrol, which is it's almost like a milky substance. It's latex based and it gives my paints fluidity so that they can move freely across the canvas without over mixing with each other. But what's interesting about fluid acrylics is, at least with my process, you have to do the whole painting in one session.
Wow.
So sometimes that means you're putting in a 14-hour day because you got a lot of mountains to paint. And once it dries, you can't really go back because you can tell that the artist did another layer, which layering is good in some art forms. But with fluid acrylics, at least for me, it takes away the cohesion of the piece and it'll change the end finish. So this right now, we're sitting in my studio where I just kind of have sort of some overflow. You know, I didn't want to put them downstairs, but they didn't have another place to go. And some of them are in progress. Some of them I never finished, probably never will.
Delaney demonstrates almost every first Friday.
Oh.
So this one back here is one she did on Friday. And so she sets up here in the studio mostly and has a huge crowd around her. So another reason to come to first Friday.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
thank you.
Let's talk about first Fridays for those viewers and listeners who may not be familiar with what first Fridays are. Can you educate us?
First Friday is a great tradition, downtown tradition. I think now there are probably 30 to 40 venues.
I think so,
that open from 5 to 7 on the first Friday of every month. Mm-hmm. Here at Oasis, we always have live music. We have snacks, including wine and beer, by the way.
Oh, nice to mention. I'll be by.
And as I thought that might help. we open a new show on First Friday. So right now it's the Shenandoah, three ladies from the Shenandoah Valley Watercolor Society.
Okay.
I think in 2 months, Etta and I are doing a show called Movement. So remember the first Friday in June to come down and see us. Yeah, I better get started, right? Yeah, but we have live music. We have lots of people talking. We have at least two or three artists demonstrating. So it's a fun evening, and it's only 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you mean by movement? And I have a question for you after that, Delaney.
Okay, so
what does that mean? Are you going to be moving around and doing art? What's happening?
I have a solo dance. No.
I hope so, too.
So one of my big, big heroes is Calder. And his mobiles. And a couple years ago, an artist from Charlottesville came and taught me how to make them. And I have been so inundated with other things that I never made more than three. So this show is the impetus for me to make more.
More mobiles.
And nice. My...
Like babies watch when they're...
All right. Except I hope these are a little cuter, nicer, more elegant, more artistic, but...
Maybe more unique. Depends. Some
but
of them are very unique.
I should do baby ones. Those would sell, wouldn't they?
Probably.
But Etta, who is the co-featured artist, is a felter.
Okay.
So she is doing things with felt that I haven't seen yet, but I tell you, her work is spectacular. And a couple of months ago, she did a series called The Dancers, Oh my God, they were so fabulous, so fabulous. So
the she's felt dancers?
Felt dancers with, they move.
Whoa.
I know. They. I have one
I would like moving like art, that, actually.
And the dancer stands up here and she's, oh, and her hair is wild. Oops, sorry. And
yeah, she, how is her hair again so we can hear that?
Wild.
I like that I got you to and, do that and, again and on camera, too.
It's spectacular. Anyway, so she and I are going to do this show, and I'm excited about it. So anyway.
I have to ask one of those silent, the interpreters for people that are deaf if that's what wild is. I don't think it is. If you are one of those interpreters, let us know if there's even, if it even comes anything close to what you would interpret for dear. Us.
Go dial up Chet DGPT real fast, would you?
Delaney, I have a couple questions for you. My first question is, where do you find, I just in general, I'm curious where artists find their supplies. So where do you find this type of paint?
That's a great question. So thankfully, I can just get any kind of acrylic paints, any craft grade acrylics. So I can go to a craft store like Michael's and just get, I usually get Master's Touch acrylics, but you can even use kind of cheap ones to get started. You can get them at Walmart. And then the harder thing to find in large supply is my Floetrol, but I have Rocking R Hardware. They order it for me quarterly in bulk. They know me by name. They pack it up in my car for me. They do an awesome job. I just call and say, it's Delaney. I want to make my order. And they say, okay, great. You don't even have to pay until you get here because they know me. So they're awesome. So highly recommend. But, and then otherwise, I mean, what's cool about fluid acrylics, yeah, canvases, true. I usually get those either in bulk from Michael's, they deliver, or occasionally I will go to Hobby Lobby. I don't always agree with their politics personally. You can cut that if you have to. But, sometimes they do have some good prices on some items. That is an accessible place. I know one of our other artists, Bahir, occasionally he finds things at thrift shops that he can then, gesso and paint over something if it was just a print on a canvas. It's a good way, economical way to get some canvases. Yeah. But thankfully, it's not too hard to find supplies. And it's not actually that expensive of a medium. You just have to make a bunch of really bad art before you get good at it. So that's where the money comes in.
Oh, art. Isn't that true for just about every medium?
Exactly. Practice makes perfect.
One other question, too, that you had talked about with your painting. You need to do it all in one session because it's hard to go back. And you mentioned a marathon session. I would say 14 hours is a marathon session.
Very long days.
So do you take breaks during that 14 hours? Do you eat? What happens?
So I always
try. You have to go to the bathroom?
I do go to the bathroom. Okay. I try to make sure that I have food already made because otherwise I will just eat like protein bars all day. And then at the end of the day, you're like exhausted and you have to put the finishing touches on it and you can't even think. Mm-hmm. So I try to make sure I've already done my food prep. I plan ahead for these days. Like I'll take, I'll like block off a Sunday 2 weeks in advance. And then I'll also be thinking about it the whole time. Like weeks are passing and I'm thinking about the painting. And then when I go to do it, it's so in my mind that it often flows really well because I've thought about it so much. Like I know what colors I'm going to mix and how I'm going to apply them and what they're going to do. Maybe I'll even do practice sessions. I'll practice on smaller ones again and again until I know how to do the big one. But I do take breaks. I try to stop and stretch every 2 to 3 hours, but you can't take long breaks or else things start to dry. So you really have to be focused.
So the most you can be away is about 2 to 3 hours.
Total. I usually probably take 10 minute breaks, maybe 3 or 4 times.
So then the total amount is 2 to 3 hours, not 2 to 3 hours in a chunk away.
Oh,
from
yeah,
the
definitely
painting.
Not. It would dry.
It's giving me a better sense of what this process is
it
for
can
you.
Be, it can, yeah, it can definitely be kind of exhausting when you're doing those big ones, but it's so rewarding too that it's just, I really get in the zone with it. But I cannot be bothered.
do you stand the whole time? Are you sitting or
generally
both?
I stand, but I recently broke my foot. So I've had to rearrange my whole setup. And so I had to do a more seated setup. But really the standing is just helpful for me to see it from the right angle. And occasionally I'll move things to the floor so that I can see it, you know, from above, and I'll work on the floor. For some of my pieces that are really big, I have to do them on the floor because I don't have a big enough table. Or I often put like if I'm doing a large abstract piece, I'll put it on like a big puzzle spinner and I'll spin it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, best done on the floor. It has to be super level.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to add, remember when you had your musician friends here?
Yes.
Talk about being in the zone.
Yeah.
We set Delaney up in the big area in the front, and you had a spinner. Mm-hmm. You had a big painting, and she had musician friends who played her music, and she went into the zone.
Yeah. Oh, you saw the zone?
I saw the zone. It was this aura.
And because I had I had been preparing for that, I had like four friends that were playing like, I don't even know, like some kind of cool metal drums and like xylophones and guitar. Bass. There was a bass player. They did an awesome job. And I had been thinking about that piece, what exactly I wanted to do with it. For about a week, I'd been listening to the band's music and thinking about it. And so I kind of wanted to create like sunset over water, but with abstract colors. And it flowed so easily that I actually had time to make another painting.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh my God, it's only been an hour. I'm already done with this 30 by 40. It was kind of crazy. So that just
incredible.
Was smooth. That was fun. And it was so cool because we had the doors open and people would hear the music and some people just kind of would wander in. And there were people who stayed the whole time. It was just like between the music and the flow. It was really, I think it was a really mesmerizing experience. It definitely was for me. What can I say? I liked it.
That's incredible. I was going to ask you what type of music and you answered that question. So it was on a first Friday.
That was special, a special event that we advertise. But you do paint on first Fridays.
I do, yes.
Okay.
As often as I can. But I'm hoping to do, maybe this summer, get some friends to do some more of these live music and paint offerings so that people can just be walking by and see us doing things. I think having art actually taking place in the space with our studios, it just changes the whole energy and reminds people that all of this is handmade, you know.
Yeah.
Each one of these items is made by someone.
Yeah.
So this might be a good time for us to mention Day of the Arts.
Please do.
Yeah.
Yes,
go ahead. We're doing another one in May. May 10th.
That's not near Mother's Day, right?
It's the day before.
Okay.
So the last one of these we did because there were 100 Virginia tourism specialists in town.
Oh, wonderful. So, yeah, I know some of them.
Harrisonburg Tourism asked if we would open up specially, and we had 11 of us here, and it was magic, wasn't it?
It was awesome.
So, and that's the kind of thing we do on Day of the Arts. Some of our artists offer make and take things, and others, like Delaney, just demonstrate, but... But and we'll do one in May, and is the other one in October? I don't know. But look on our Facebook page and on our website, and then you'll see. And no charge.
No charge.
We never charge for these things. So come in and enjoy, right?
Yeah.
Let's see what you do. That's incredible. I wanted to ask, actually switch it over to you, Barbara, and ask you about how the stained glass got you to travel the world. I was reading a bit of your bio, and you were out and about in the world. That's why you know about Milan and I don't. Who knows where this podcast will take me, though, laughers. I see you from all over the world watching and listening to this, and I love you all. So we'll see. But in the meantime, I want to hear your story. You went away with your husband.
We did. We had a mutual midlife crisis.
Glad you went through it together.
Yeah, me too. And we decided we needed to leave the corporate world. We were in California. Very high stress, a lot of hours, blah, blah, blah. And so we said, we're young. We got to go have an adventure. So after a lot of research and negotiating back and forth, we ended up in Portugal. we were too young to have a pension. So we had to take what skills we had or knowledge we had and convert those into things that we could make money with because we had to survive. So I took a hobby and made that my business. My husband was a mechanical engineer and he took those engineering skills and made furniture.
That is really cool.
And it was always to order. I mean, he was extraordinarily talented and meticulous. Much more meticulous than I, but
you got the yin and the yang. That's how it works.
That's right. But we worked really hard. A lot of people helped us. So many generous people. And we survived. We had a lot of fun, but we had to work really hard to make it work. You know, and that would be what I would say to anybody who wants to be a working artist. Mm-hmm. You have to be, it has to be hard. You're often making things that maybe you didn't want to make, but they sell and they make money. You know, my mom, who was a very talented artist, often was a little bit jealous that I could sell pretty well and she wasn't. And I said, Mom, if you had to eat, you would learn to hit the market that would feed you. And that's a skill, don't you think?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's well said.
Yeah. So anyway, what was your question?
Well, I want to ask more about that. So I was asking about the world traveling you did with your art, and it started there. I want to stay there for just a second because I think that's a tremendous, valuable piece of education from life you received when you're kind of backed up against the wall and how are you going to make money off of art, which as people know, I'm sure they've experienced either yourself as an artist or someone that you know and love as an artist. There's a reason why the term starving artist is still exists. And there's some hopes and dreams inside this cow to help be a part of a movement and changing that. And so I've heard before the podcast, you have shared some of that too, that you have some experience of your own about how that can change, where people can take a step in a direction to make a change, at least for themselves. So what would be maybe two or three top pieces of advice you would give for someone who wants to start making some money off of their art?
Well, I think the thing that helped me the most was I put myself in situations where I had contact with clients. So I might be showing something I thought was pretty terrific. And a client would say, well, I kind of like that, but could you do a whatever?
Yeah, change it somehow.
Change it. And you have to have enough humility to say, oh, I bet I can do that. And then respond quickly enough that they're still interested. You know, so that flexibility and listening to clients and being prepared to work ever so hard. I can't tell you. I mean, you know, but you got to have fun too. How many dreary artists have you known? I mean, you don't want to be a dreary artist. You don't want to be, oh, please feel sorry for me. You know, keep your pride, but have fun and do great things. The other thing I learned when I took a hobby and made it my business was in a hobby, you can make anything you want, whenever you want. In a business, you might... Well, I found myself saying, if I have to make another goddamn cat, I'm going to slip my wrists.
This is a PG-13 podcast, but I might have should have mentioned that.
Well, you can cut that.
We'll see.
Because cats sold.
But
cats
you sold. Watch it.
Yeah. Just keeping it real, man.
I like that. I like you keeping
sold.
It real. The cat sold.
So after I had been at it for a while, what I did was give myself permission to every Saturday do whatever I wanted. That was not an order. That was not production. And some fabulous pieces came out of that. Because my husband and I would do things together, and the mixture of wood and glass, and that kept me sane having my creative Saturdays.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is another piece of advice,
right.
is some self-care for the artist to create exactly what they want to create without having to worry about whether or not it's going to sell.
Right, right.
Did you like the cat that you end up making, or did you?
I love my kitties.
I love the cats, too.
See, you ended up creating something you loved after all.
Right.
What's most unique about your kitties? This is a piece of... These are stained glass.
They are stained glass. Yeah. Some are fused now. I've gotten really into fused glass a lot in the last couple of years. All of the pieces I make have some whimsy associated with them. So I like that, you know, they're not too traditional.
Okay.
You know? And I think most people can tell if it's a piece of mine because it does tend to have a bit of whimsy to it. And my cats aren't, you know, gray or... What are you doing?
I was just touching Barbara's earrings because they're whimsical and she made them. So sorry to distract, but it is a fact. These are some whimsical Barbara earrings and they're very noticeably Barbara's, you know?
Right.
Because they're not just a piece of glass. They have a really whimsical piece of wire wrapped around them that also matches. So sorry to distract.
Yeah, she's whimsical.
Okay, I was wondering what you were doing.
It's like touching her and she's like, what is happening?
On camera even.
What kind of podcast is this?
You said PG whatever.
I did indeed. So you make stained glass earrings.
Yeah, because it comes from a time when I used every scrap of everything.
Because
glass is so expensive.
When you were away and traveling and making this a business.
Right, right.
I bet that sold a lot, no?
Oh, absolutely. And I made a lot of wind chimes with odd pieces of glass, you know. And this was way before anybody had good internet. So I had to make up how I was going to do it. I mean, I didn't have something I could go to say, this is how you do it. It was all trial and error.
There was no YouTube videos. No. How to?
Little story about my kitties. We had two cats. And in Portugal, one of the wonderful meals is to have grilled sardines.
Oh.
We love those. Gourmet, yes. Grilled sardines. Anyway.
I spoil my babies, too, my fur babies. They're dogs.
So I would collect the bones and melt them two pieces of glass in the kiln. Well, when I was doing that, my cats were, oh, what's going on around here? It was such a stink. But anyway, I like to experiment, and that was one of the experiments that I did.
What made you come back to the States then?
Well, it was time to leave Portugal. We came back to the States for a couple of months and then outfitted a van and drove the Pan American Highway from California to Panama, looking for a new place to live. Found it. Great place. We had a great time in El Valle de Antón in the Republic of Panama. Trump, keep your hands off the canal.
I guess we know where you stand.
Same.
Okay.
Aren't you glad they're going to do some editing?
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Anyway, it was a fabulous town, and we had a great time there, and eventually had to leave because my husband needed to come back to the States for medical treatment. But anyway, everywhere I've lived, I have had such wonderful people around me, helping me, supporting me, suggesting ways to go. So even here in Harrisonburg, I mean, same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. Yeah. Delaney, I want to... How is it to do the live performing of art?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I really love it. I've had to learn how to find the flow of that space.
Right.
Because I do typically, music is a big part of my process. Mm-hmm. And I typically work alone. Of course, we're artists. We mostly do work in in solitude or sometimes, you know, in community with other artists, but you're mm-hmm. typically kind of doing your thing in your flow. Mm-hmm. And so it has been a learning curve, and some days go better than others, but I find it so inspiring to, and I hope that it also inspires others, that because it looks kind of easy, and
it isn't.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, anyone can learn how to do it. And I think that people sometimes have seen, you know, acrylic pouring videos, and they see a person doing it, and while they're kind of like, whoa, how do you do this? I hope that it kind of lights that fire for them, maybe, of thinking, oh gosh, what could I create? How could I learn? And so for me, like, I get into a flow of talking to people and doing the work. And so I have kind of learned how to still find that quiet space within me mm-hmm. while I'm interacting with people. So it's not only a fun brain exercise, but it gets me jazzed up. Like it's really fun, and it's cool. I just find it really exciting that people care about the work, that people care about the art, they care about the process, they want to ask me questions.
While you're doing it?
Oh, constantly. How long does it take to dry? What do you mix your paints with? How did you learn how to do this? You know, those are like the three most common questions.
Are you still moving while you're answering questions?
Yeah,
or do you
I'm
stop?
Still doing it. Sometimes, I will say, on this past First Friday, I was really chatty, and there were some really nice people, and at one point this older fellow was like, is the paint going to dry if you don't do anything? I was like, no, it's going to stay wet for a while. And he was like, well, I might not be here much longer. And I was like, well, that's fair. I'm probably not going to do anything right now because I'm very distracted. But, you know, he eventually did see me do something and thought it was cool. So it's a little hit or miss. But there is one event that I do every year. I usually am honored to get to paint at the Top Chef Harrisonburg event.
Oh, really? You paint
yes,
there?
Yes, I usually paint there, and they auction off my painting. And that has been so cool. This will be my third year doing it. And so it is in June. I think it might be June 8th. I believe it's a Sunday. Okay, it's always at Frieden Farms.
A little bit. Frieden Farms. So let's pause
it's a
for a
beautiful
minute.
Place.
You know, again, we have listeners all throughout the state, in the United States, and the world. So what is Top Chef in Harrisonburg?
Top Chef Harrisonburg is an awesome fundraiser event that's put on by, gosh, now I'm on the spot and I got to remember their name. They're a child advocacy group.
Okay.
You're going to have to put it in the show notes.
We
or
will
something.
Put it in the show notes.
It might
notes.
Come to me. I bet it'll come to me.
And when it does.
Yeah, when it does, I will let you know, because it's an awesome group of folks who do, it's like court-appointed child advocacy. Yeah. It is CASA. Yes, yes. It's CASA.
Wonderful.
CASA.
We
yes,
figured
thank
it
you.
Out.
Blue Ridge CASA. Thank you. Yeah, they're wonderful people. I believe it's a nonprofit out of Stanton area.
Okay.
And so they do this huge fundraiser every year where they get top chefs from Harrisonburg, Stanton area, and they will have the top chefs compete at like a cooking competition. And so a bunch of people will buy tickets to this event where there's silent auction and donations, and the live painting is just a side offering.
That
and people can
neat.
Go around to these chef's stations and try their amazing food that they make for the event specifically, and people vote for who the top chef is.
Oh.
So it's kind of a big deal. Everybody gets really hype about it. And for me, it's fun because everybody's drinking and they're stumbling over to me asking me the same five questions. And I find it really entertaining, and usually the music is good, so I'm just kind of doing my thing. But yeah, Blue Ridge CASA, I apologize, I forgot their name for a second, but top-notch people.
That is amazing.
I think they raise a lot of money with that event, typically thousands of dollars to go towards the program.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's neat. I don't think I've ever been to an event where they've had a live art, right? It's really great. I have to think about that too. Maybe we'll have to have Top Chef people on here.
Yes, it's a great event.
About that, right?
Yeah.
So maybe I'll talk to you after I get a connect.
Sounds good.
Person to talk to. Now, Barbara, talk to me about how the glass talks to you, quote unquote. That is a quote of yours.
It is a quote of mine.
So let's break that down.
Yeah, and I think this is the way I describe it, but I think other artists, it's like getting in the zone. I sit down. Sometimes I don't pre-design something. I sit down on my play days and I just pick up a piece of glass, start cutting it, put it in somewhere.
then what do we need? The glass says, oh, go get some yellow. And I...
It says it. You feel it.
I know it.
Okay.
Know it. Yeah. And that I know you feel that way, too. It's just, it's a wonderful place to be. So I cherish those moments.
When it speaks to you. So yeah. It's when you're in the zone. It's,
when I'm in the zone.
And then the pieces just come together.
It comes together. And they're usually pretty cool pieces, too.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Let's talk, both of you. I would like for you to answer this question. We'll start with you, Barbara. What are some of the challenges of working in as an artist in a co-op situation?
Well, first of all, let me say I have been a member in two other co-ops. So,
okay.
And I think they are a terrific way to be an artist and a working artist. Oasis is very special because it's been here so long that we have procedures, we have people who train, we mentor people, you know, we teach sales, we teach, if we see something that maybe is overpriced or underpriced, we have a conversation. We're always watching out for each other, wouldn't you say? And we have some members when they are sick, we cover for them.
No, that's great.
Yeah, we're really an empathy is part of our name, I think.
And when you say members, it's the other three dozen artists.
Right,
okay, that's what you mean by members.
Members,
okay.
Yeah. We are also, I think everyone here believes in the community art that we do. JMU was here a couple of years ago doing something with us. I don't know, but they came up with this slogan, local art, community heart. Have I got that right?
Yeah. I think that's on your website right now.
It might be because we thought, well, how cool that they saw that and made that slogan up for us.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of community art. We do a lot of outreach, like to Second Home. We have a Vivid program, a really good program there. We just this year got a grant to give scholarships.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So some of them are designated for the kids at Second Home, and some are and this will all be at the Friendly City Clay and Art Center on 42.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah. So that's been a dream of ours for a long time, to be able to have scholarships, because we want to reduce the barriers to learning. Mm-hmm. And enjoying, you know?
So those are the rewards. So there's no challenges?
Oh, sure.
As they look at each other. Delaney's got this.
We try too hard. We volunteer too often. I think that's from The Office. Do you want me to actually?
Yeah.
I don't actually know. We don't have any weaknesses or challenges.
Well, everything's perfect here at Oasis. Don't worry about that.
With three dozen people, every once in a while, someone needs a talking to.
We can all use a talking to, don't you think?
I am the designated talker.
Good grief.
I have a thought. Okay. I would say probably, too, some people, like Barbara, do so much. Mm. And that probably is challenging at times. And I think we do a good job supporting each other and getting involved here. But I think that there are times probably when certain people are doing way more than their share. Although you haven't complained about it, you know, it balances out. But, you know, I do think about that sometimes of like, oh, gosh, these guys are doing so much, you know, let me make sure I'm doing enough. I think we, you know, for artists, I think we've done a good job, like, all showing up and being pretty consistent and reliable. But I imagine some co-ops probably struggle with that, you know, if you don't have as many members, you know, because we are all entirely volunteer based, essentially. So we're all running the gallery. So if an artist decides, oh, I'm not going to do my shift this month, well, that's a problem. Who's going to open the door and get the, you know, get the money box and all that, you know?
Those are realistic challenges. Yeah.
I remember early on when I joined, Oasis was coming through a black period. It had become dysfunctional, and bad behavior was allowed, and people were at each other's throats. And a consequence, a lot of people resigned. So now we are absolutely firm. If you got a problem with someone, you don't talk behind their back. We say that when our pre-interview before you're allowed to hang things. I am firm on that because it comes from the top. Mm-hmm. If you don't stop dysfunctional behavior right now, it wrecks an organization. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're really good about, you know, and we do, you know, we have an annual members meeting multiple times a year. We do a retreat annually as well where we can, you know, we went to Barbara's house this year and we were able to really kind of break down all of our goals and, you know, who's doing what and, you know, how are we going to do the things we want to do? And I think, and you know, what things are we struggling with? So I think having that open communication and an ability to express yourself if you are struggling with something that someone's doing or whatever, I think it's a really safe space. And I think that's a culture that you've, you know, intentionally created, and that's great. I mean, that's exactly what you need.
I want to talk about that because I think that's absolutely magnificent, Barbara. And I'm sure there are some people out there that are running organizations that would love to see that happen for them. Maybe they're in a dark period or they see that it's going in a dark period. You've set up this safe space. That sounds great. What does that practically look like? Let's say I had a problem with you, which I know would never happen.
Well,
but how does that look like? Do I just come talk to you? Is
that
communal?
Well, a lot of people are chicken to do that. So what Oasis is run by what we call a board, and it functions as the executive director. Mm-hmm. We do have an outside board who oversees us. But anyway, the internal board, any member can go talk to someone on the internal board.
If they're having a problem.
If it was me,
I was having a problem with you, I would go
to Barbara Paul and say, look, I'm having a problem, and Barbara would mediate. She wouldn't allow it to fester. So
so is she coming to you to say?
She would probably call a meeting and say, need this. Very much like restorative justice.
I like that.
You do not do things behind people's backs.
Love it.
You know?
Love it.
And where an atmosphere of doing it behind people's back is allowed, it becomes dysfunctional so fast.
Okay, so then you have a nice meeting, and then there's someone there in case it would get heated. I bet sometimes it's not. It's just a matter of being heard and seen.
A lot of time it's misunderstanding. We had a really funny incident happen here, and I had to go resolve it. And it turned out the basis of it was a misunderstanding.
Yep.
That had the member who misunderstood not brought it up, it would have festered and caused all kinds of problems. But she felt that she could bring it up.
That's great.
That's the atmosphere that we've got.
I love that.
And I went to resolve it, and she was not offended when I told her what the real situation was. She was glad it was resolved.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's what you want. I think that's true for most of us, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it helps being old, too.
That does give you extra bennies, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think most of us genuinely have goodwill.
I think so, too.
You know, most people genuinely do.
We have had a few here that we've said, well, it's not working out.
Yeah.
And I guess you have to be brave enough to recognize that and say, you know, maybe you ought to move on. It's not a good fit, you know?
And that's true, too, and that's okay.
It is okay, but you have to have the guts to do it.
You know? So you're kind of the leader over here.
No, I'm just old.
The one with the most...
outspoken, right?
The one with the most senior experience.
Well, I think I am the oldest member, actually, but not the oldest Oasis member. I mean, longevity-wise. Yeah. Sarah is. Now, if I could just speak a minute about our Sarah.
Talk about Sarah. I'm excited. Made Delaney smile, too. I can't wait to hear about Sarah.
Our Sarah has been here close to when it started. She's a metalsmith, extraordinarily talented, but Sarah can do anything. So when I conceive of a new idea, I say, Sarah, come sit with me. Let's talk about it. What am I forgetting? And I, you know, and or if something's broken, she, yeah, she fixes it. So this is a story.
She literally can do anything.
This is a story about Sarah. Okay. She was with us in Milan, and we were visiting an ex-Oasis member who is a fabulous painter. Anyway, for some unknown reason, she didn't have any paintings on the wall, and while she was at work, we decided to hang paintings. But one of them needed a hook, and we, since Gemma wasn't there, we didn't know where her hook stash was. So out of Sarah's luggage comes a pipe cleaner.
Oh, my God. She would.
The Mary Poppins of...
The MacGyver. She and it worked. And so I always travel with duct tape. I'm adding pipe cleaners now.
That is why it's
so anyway, we...
But
you'll remember pipe cleaners from now on, won't you? Anyway, we love her, and she can do anything. She is a backbone of here, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We've got a few that are absolute backbones, including Barbara. But you know, we got
Let's hand the mic over there to Delaney. She's talking.
Sorry, I'm talking without the mic. But yes, I would say Sarah is definitely a backbone. I mean, every time we have a show, she respackles the wall, repaints the wall. She's really good with the Cricut, so the thing that makes the letters. So she puts, she'll do signage and different lettering.
Thank you for that.
It's like C-R-I-C-U-T, Cricut. So it's a lettering thing. But I'm not sure what else to say about that. I could go on and on and on.
Well, while you got the mic, I want to ask you what comes to mind when I ask this question, and I want you to be thinking about it in terms of your answer. You shared a little bit earlier about your interaction with the people that come watch you do demonstrations.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there are also some pretty sweet, unique, or funny, or memorable interactions with customers that buy your art. Do you have any that come to mind?
Yeah, I do. Well, actually, of course, I'm thinking of a friend of mine who, there was someone who saw my art last May.
Okay.
He was a student at JMU at the time. And he saw my art and he just fell in love with it, and I had just left for the day, and so Barbara was calling me like, you should come back and meet this guy, he really likes your art, he's running around looking at all of it. And I wasn't able to come back, so he ended up sending me this lengthy email.
Aww.
And it was it really just made me feel so good, because he said that the art, something about it actually brought tears to his eyes, and he had a spiritual experience looking at it, and it brought him back to another experience he had had. And anyway, it was really lengthy, and it just was very touching. And so I told him, you should come meet me sometime, and watch me paint. And so he showed up, and we just clicked. And so this is actually one of my best friends now.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so it's so cool to meet someone through your work, that they see something that you create. And then there's actually a connection there, that's sort of wild. So that's really incredible, the people you can meet through your work.
And how you express yourself.
And then also just it made me really happy. Some guy I never had met reached out to me and said that his daughter had seen my art and loved it, and he wanted to buy her all of the supplies for Christmas so that she could start doing it. And he was
wonderful.
Is it too much to ask, what you use and where I can buy it. I've never gone to a craft store in my life. I don't know how to do any of this.
So
it was really, it was fun for me to I sent him pictures of all the things he needs and where to buy them. And he said it was a total success, and she's loving it. She's been playing around, and he made a little studio for her. So that's just so
you
cool.
You helped birth an artist.
Yes.
How does that feel?
It feels so good. I love that. That just makes me so happy that people can see the work and be inspired by it that deeply, that they want to do that now.
Yeah.
So it's really cool, the connections you can make, and just the other artists here that I've met. These are lifelong friendships, and so that's really meaningful. So we're not, I think being an artist can be a little bit isolating. So getting to do community, being in the community, not only working with other artists, but getting to share that with the world and offer art experiences to people, that takes you out of that isolation and into a place of potentially more meaningfulness in the work.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
How about you, Barbara? What comes to mind when I ask that question for you?
Well, I like to teach. I really do. Yeah. And I don't have a lot of time. When we were in Portugal, I had a really heavy teaching schedule, and I backed off on that a little bit. But here I teach mosaics.
Oh,
so
and I actually like mosaics.
Yeah, and I have so much fun. And every time I teach, I learn something from my students. It is so much fun. You know, how they look at things, how they approach things, and there's really never a wrong way of doing something. Mm-hmm. So it's that's a fun thing for me.
How often do you teach the mosaic
classics? Well, I used to teach once a year for Parks and Rec. I'm not going to do that this year because of the community mosaic we've got going on.
Oh, right. The big project.
The big project. So, but during the year, I teach maybe two or three times here at Oasis in the evening.
Is that a cost to take the mosaic class?
Of course, I'm expensive.
Of course you are.
I am worth every penny.
But I imagine for your time, but also the materials.
Well, the materials are all offcuts for my work, but the glue is expensive and blah, blah, blah. And the last couple of students wanted to know how to resin the glass, and that was fun. And that's very expensive, as you know.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I think this is a great segue into having you share with us about the big Guinness World Record mosaic project.
Yeah.
Good segue for that.
Our last members meeting, we brought up the fact that Oasis was turning 25 this year, and what could we do to honor that anniversary? And one of our members said, I think we should go for a Guinness World Record.
That's amazing. I'm really glad you guys are going
Aaron
for it.
Aaron said that.
Yeah.
And man, all of us like, what a great idea, because anyone can hold a gala, right?
Yeah.
And that's not our thing.
A gala and for the interpretation. A gala. Somebody might be like, what is that?
It's not an apple. A fancy dress. Anybody can do that.
Right.
But we wanted to do something that reflected Oasis. So we put the word out that we were going to attempt to beat the world record and invited the community to help us.
Mm.
So we always have a panel here, and the panels are 16 by 24. And we always have a panel here for people to work on. Plus, we are...
To make a mosaic.
To make
when
a
you
mosaic.
Mean by panel.
Contribute.
A panel is like a canvas for a painter. And a panel is a canvas for somebody to do a mosaic art.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
It's very special material and it costs a lot of money.
Okay.
But,
good to know.
And the glue. Huh. But, yeah...
Lots of glue
and expensive. But anyway, so a lot of groups have reached out to us. Assisted Living, the ARC, the Fire Department,
that's
the Police
great.
Department, Parks and Rec, churches,
yeah.
book clubs. I mean, and the theme is, what do you like best about the Harrisonburg area?
Yeah.
And everybody's coming up with different things, different ideas, and it's a joy. It really is a joy. So we are going to beat this world record hands down. We're going to go way past it, and we will end up with these works of art that... we will challenge the city to find a place to put up.
That's amazing. Breweries, too. That's when I saw
it. Oh, yeah. You. Yeah, yeah. I took it yesterday to Friendly for Winter.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
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 That's how this Friendly City works. You run into people when you're just hanging out. And that's how I found out about the Mosaic Project, honestly. And so wineries, too. Just
wineries
about anybody
too.
That
yep.
can come, yeah. any industry yeah. can come
and
up with something.
And some stores. I took a panel to Horizon Gifts today. Now, they specialize in games, so they decided their image was two dice.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that fun?
That's so simple,
so,
too,
yeah.
but also so great.
Everybody's got a different idea, and to portray all those ideas, what a fun thing to do, right?
That is a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Well, I know your members meeting is coming up,
so
we're going to wrap this up. I want you to be able to share with us, if someone wants to get more information, figure out what you're doing, get in touch with you on social media or otherwise, what would be the best way for them to do that?
We're really active on Facebook and Instagram and our website.
Okay.
Our website, we keep that up when they can view all the artists there, all of what we're up to. And on Facebook, we have all of our events and so forth. Anything else?
So, yeah, our website is oasisfineartandcraft.com. .org. Org with an O. Oasisfineartandcraft.org. And we also do have a shop on there as well. So if you go to our Oasis page and you find the shop tab, we do have some shopping opportunities on there as well.
That is great. And you can hear their artists are coming together for their meeting they're going to have in a few minutes. So before you all rush off to that, I just want to say thank you so much, Delaney and Barbara, for coming on today and sharing all things Oasis with all of us. It truly has been a pleasure and fun. I love the comedic moments, of course.
Thank you so much for having us.
You are so welcome. Yes. And Barbara says thank you, too.
Without the mic.
I think we did pretty good with that. And laughers, we want to thank you for tuning in today. It is truly amazing how much you support this podcast by listening to this, with all these episodes and sharing them with your friends. If this is your first time, we invite you to like, share, and tell a friend too. This community is growing, and it's growing because of you. So thank you for being a part of it. Also, remember that you can get that free audiobook from Audible when you click on that link in the show notes. Again, I do get a small commission for that, but that helps this podcast grow so we can get more amazing content out there for all those people interested in all things non-hiking and the Shenandoah Valley. Am I right, Delaney? She's a hiker, sure. But we won't talk about it. Anyway. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomacks.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.